From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, millions rally nationwide for worker and immigration rights on May Day. We'll take you to a rally in Albany. New York's Education Commissioner releases a new report on state-specific learning standards. And our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on Governor Cuomo suggesting that an all-Democratic legislature wouldn't work well together. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. On Monday, May Day this week, millions rallied nationwide for worker and immigrant rights. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports now from Albany's Day Without Immigrants protest.
In the late 19th century, International Workers' Day, also known as May Day, was chosen as the day to celebrate labor and the working classes. In Albany, citizens and activists began assembling mid-morning in front of the Masjid As-Salam Mosque on Central Avenue. Mosque President Dr. Shamshad Ahmad said local people were excited about participating in Day Without an Immigrant activities.
Combining the labor movement with the situation with the immigrants and the Muslim ban executive orders and proceedings.
Three quarters of a mile down the avenue, the Social Justice Center was a beehive of activity. Guillermo Maciel, a small business owner and farmer from Columbia County, was putting the finishing touches on a marcher's sign.
Back in February, we started organizing with Cosecha. Cosecha is a national group of volunteers, completely volunteer-led. We're working for the dignity, respect, and permanent protection of immigrant and undocumented people in this nation.
Maciel says the group is trying to increase the movement's ranks via mobile technology.
Text the word strike, or the word which means huelga in Spanish, texting the word strike to 41411. This will get you in contact with your local Cosecha circle. And what a Cosecha circle means is just a group of us volunteers ready to coordinate different activities that help to bring attention to the mission of dignity, respect, and permanent protection for undocumented people in the country.
Meanwhile, marchers left the mosque for a short walk down and across the street, stopping outside La Iglesia Santuario, the shrine church of Our Lady of the Americas, for an interfaith prayer service. After that, they anxiously forged ahead. Destination, Townsend Park. I asked Shamshad Ahmad if any members of the mosque reported any recent incidents involving bigotry, racism, or Islamophobia.
Personally, we haven't felt, but we feel a little bit in the air. And these are the extremist people, the so-called supporters of Donald Trump.
Ahmad expressed empathy for those folks crossing the border into the U.S. from Mexico. Maciel notes that more than 80% of undocumented immigrants are of Latino origin.
Many of them were an incredible part in delivering the Congress in 2006 to the Democratic Party, the White House to President Obama in 2008. And unfortunately, what has occurred was no comprehensive immigration reform, no future steps or real progress toward making people who are living in the shadows, people who are tilling fields, who are working in factories, who are working in kitchens, no real pathway to citizenship.
Albany County legislator Doug Bullock expects the event to wrap up between 7 and 8 o'clock.
This goes on from the Townsend Park down to the Capitol, and then from the Capitol, we'll march through the city to the federal building, and finally, in the park next to the federal building, we'll have a wind-up ceremony.
Activists are confident the day's events will send a strong message to Washington and beyond that the people support immigrant rights.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
New York State's education commissioner said this week that new state-specific learning standards will offer several improvements over the controversial Common Core standards. Commissioner Mary Ellen Elia's report came out on a day when large numbers of students in some parts of the state were expected to once again boycott the required third through eighth grade math tests. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Commissioner Elia says the timing of the report on the day that the math tests are administered is pure coincidence.
This is about standards. This is not about opt-out. This is not about assessments right now. This is about establishing new standards.
The Education Department has been working on developing the new standards since late 2015. Governor Cuomo, who initially supported the controversial fast-tracking of Common Core, issued a report in December of that year. It recommended slowing things down and carefully revamping the unpopular Common Core standards. Despite the efforts, parents continue to opt their children out of the Common Core-related third through eighth grade standardized tests. Statewide, over one-fifth of students skipped the tests during the past 2 years. Numbers for attendance at the 2017 tests will not be released until the summer, but already Newsday is reporting that around half of Long Island students boycotted the English exams given in late March. Commissioner Elia says the improvements to the standards include increasing the complexity of reading materials for each grade level and helping children to better learn how to read things like technical manuals for information, as well as developing an affinity for reading fiction and literature. In math, students will be introduced to some of the higher mathematical concepts at an earlier grade level, though they will not be expected to fully master them until later on. But more importantly, Elia, a former teacher, says this time teachers were fully included in the process.
They wanted to feel like they were part of that. Teachers are professionals. They didn't want to have something done to them. They wanted to be part of it. And so we have worked to put a very collaborative process in place to address that issue.
The initial development of the Common Core standards left teachers out. It caused a backlash from teachers' unions. That eventually led to a moratorium on using the test results to evaluate students or teachers until at least the 2019-2020 school year. The company that wrote the test was fired, and the new company writes questions with the input of teachers. A statement from the teachers' union, New York State United Teachers, commends Elia and the other education officials for showing a commitment to fixing the problem. And the New York State School Boards Association, which often found itself in the middle of the fights, is also pleased. The school board's Tim Creamer says he's never seen a more open or transparent process. He praises the education commissioner for traveling the state to gather input.
Trying to make sure that people were included and that this meets the needs of as many people as possible, I think she's got it right.
Now that the standards are out, there will be a public comment period before the full Board of Regents vote at their June meeting. The documents are available at the State Education Department's website. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government, politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Now, Alan, you've been saying for many years now that the governor may not actually want an all-Democratic legislature, a Democratic state senate, and of course the assembly Democratic. Here's what he said in Long Island this week, Alan. He said all-Democratic rule in Albany, quote, wasn't an extraordinary success, but insisted he supported members of his own party in state elections.
Talk about trying to have it both ways. This is typical of both Cuomos. Mario, who I knew very well, as you know, because David, you and I had a radio show that we did with him for many, many years, and he didn't want it either. Look, they're afraid that the left-wing Democrats will sell out the state and bankrupt it if they are permitted to have only Democrats in the legislature. So they want Republicans to control the Senate, which provides a break, as in railroad cars, a break to the impulses of the Democrats. And, you know, he can say one thing on one hand and the other on the other, because people are used to him doing this. He has, in one way or another, basically supported the Republicans. Well, we have some evidence of that. For example, the Independent Democratic Conference, the IDC, headed by Jeff Klein, a Democrat, from the Bronx of all places. And what are they doing? They're supporting the Republicans. Well, this time they're having a hell of a time about it, because all of a sudden Democrats have woken up and said, wait a second, aren't these the Republicans who are also supporting Donald Trump? So there's this IDC group who are Democrats. They're supporting Trump by way of analysis. And, you know, they're making points. And there are people who are now coming out and running against the IDC members. And that is, should be scaring the hell out of them. One way or another, however, Andrew Cuomo has found a way of supporting the Republicans in the Senate.
Meantime, you mentioned the move to the left, and we hear this week the governor in Queens announcing the biggest input of money into public education. Of course, he's been known also to support charter schools, but there he is saying we're going to put the most into education ever in New York.
Well, look, there is another $1 billion. No arguing with that. Charter schools are to many people an anathema because they drain money. The allegation goes from the other public schools, because they point out that they, too, are public schools. There's no question that some charter schools are doing better than public schools, but some are not doing well and have to be closed up. You put your money down and you take your chances and you decide what you want. We do know that Republicans as a group tend to support charter schools, while Democrats do not, because they are public education people in the old sense. Charter schools are doing interesting work. There are some people who are offended by their techniques. They say they're a little too hardcore when it comes to how they treat the students and what they're insisting on. But then there are those people in the charter schools who are saying, hey, we want everybody to have a chance. And the way to do that is to insist on standards, to insist on uniforms, to insist on doing it differently from the way that the public schools have done it in the past.
An interesting column this week by Ken Lovett, the Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, who you speak to often. He says, this is the headline at least, Governor Cuomo better off ditching re-election bid if he wants to run for president. He has experts on either side talking about it.
That's right. There's lots of disagreement on this. J.P. Miller of the Empire Report said, hey, wait a second now. If you're the governor, you're entitled to a certain amount of publicity and natural attention, but you also have the advantage of using your staff. You're not supposed to, but to prepare papers, campaign for you, and the rest. If you're not the governor, you don't have that. Now, we all know that third terms can be very, very rough for governors. Andrew Cuomo is feared in many quarters, but I don't know that he's liked that much. I don't think people really like him. In New York City and the burbs, people know him not because of him, but still because of his father, who's an icon. And they're saying he's got the Cuomo name. He must be just like Mario Cuomo. Well, trust me, he's not just like Mario Cuomo. There are real differences. Mario Cuomo was a nice man. Andrew Cuomo, a lot of people are afraid of him. And I think that's what it's all about.
Finally, Alan, the May Day was Monday, and we saw protests and marches all over the country, including in New York, where millions rallied for worker and immigrant rights. A major issue, of course, not only in the country, but for the economy of New York.
Well, David, I'm telling you now, there are a lot of people who are the infrastructure of our towns and villages doing jobs that most people do not want to do, no matter what anybody says. And so they're over here. They're doing this work. They have friends and neighbors in each of these communities. And one after another, including my hometown of Great Barrington, Massachusetts, there have been resolutions on town meeting floors and others that we're not going to cooperate with ICE. Let ICE do their job, but we're not going to have our police department checking on people and making arrests of people who are not here with documentation. So there are a lot of people who are really upset about the idea that we would turn on our neighbors one against another. You know, David, one of the things that is so upsetting about all of this is that if somebody's undocumented, they can be blackmailed, they can be hired for less than the going wage. All of those things are not attractive. It's not an attractive part of our society.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Congresswoman Nita Lowey was in Rockland County, New York this week at one of the largest earth science research institutions in the world. The Hudson Valley Democrat was there to highlight what she called devastating local impacts on science during the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Her visit came a few days after the White House removed climate change data from the Environmental Protection Agency website. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn explained.
Congresswoman Lowey, the ranking Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee, visited Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory in Palisades.
Just 102 days in, the Trump administration is already the most anti-science executive branch in history. President Trump named climate change denier Scott Pruitt to be administrator of the EPA. He signed executive orders to gut the Clean Power Plan and other regulations vital to reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Paul Gallet is president of Riverkeeper.
You can summarize his policies on the environment up in two words: chaotic and nihilistic. And I don't use those words lightly.
Lowey, who has been negotiating the budget deal that would keep the government funded through September, says it's the 2018 proposed budget that has her concerned, especially on the science front.
So when you look at what they call the skinny budget, which is 2018, we're hoping we can feed a little more, it would eliminate $102 million from NASA's Earth Research budget, $250 million from NOAA Climate Research, an unprecedented $2.6 billion with a B, from EPA programs that protect the air we breathe and the water we drink.
And she expects that in addition to places like the Environmental Protection Agency, there will be other proposed cuts. Meanwhile, the White House announced Friday it was taking down the EPA's climate change website, and there is now a message there that reads, "We are currently updating our website to reflect EPA's priorities under the leadership of President Trump and Administrator Pruitt." Sheehan Haley is senior staff associate at Lamont Doherty in biology and paleoenvironment. She says rebuffing the scientific consensus on climate change hurts international competitiveness in science and technology.
Other nations are actively encouraging scientists like us to leave the United States and take our talents elsewhere. If we want the next great discovery in medicine, engineering, or technology to be labeled made in the USA, we need to support young scientists like us and the great work that we do on behalf of this nation.
Lowey says the support should be there not only for today's scientists, but tomorrow's.
If this kind of cut continues to be talked about, all these brilliant students, all these brilliant researchers like all of you could do other things with their lives. And that to me is the biggest threat. When one researcher I met with recently said, "Well, it may not be too late. Should I change careers?" I mean, this is very, very scary.
Others who stood with Lowey in speaking against anti-science initiatives included Rockland County Legislature Environmental Committee Chairwoman Harriet Cornell. A Sierra Club Lower Hudson Group representative also attended.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Every 20 years, New Yorkers are given the opportunity for a constitutional convention. A referendum will be on the ballot in November, asking voters if one should be held. Groups are now lining up on each side. Several environmental organizations are opposed to the convention because they're concerned that a key protection for the Adirondacks and Catskills could be eliminated. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley reports.
Article 14, Section 1 of New York's Constitution states, quote, "The lands of the state now owned or hereafter acquired, constituting the forest preserve as now fixed by law, shall be forever kept as wild forest lands," unquote. First enacted in 1894, the Forever Wild Clause is the fundamental protection for the Adirondack and Catskill forest preserves. Environmental groups are concerned that if a constitutional convention is held, the clause could be at risk. Adirondack Council spokesman John Sheehan notes that a convention opens the entire Constitution to revision, and the Forever Wild Clause could be weakened or eliminated during such proceedings.
We don't know that it's all that likely, but frankly, we're not willing to take that chance. As soon as the Forever Wild Clause was enacted, the legislature tried to repeal it the same year. That was defeated. There was another constitutional amendment brought forth a couple of years later. That was defeated. And every year, the last 27 years in a row, we have seen something introduced during the legislative session that would weaken or eliminate the basic protections of the Forever Wild Clause. So I think it's never really safe. So we're against having a constitutional convention, and we're really concerned that the Forever Wild Clause might be something that, even by accident, gets dropped out of the Constitution.
Adirondack Mountain Club Executive Director Neil Woodworth says it's unclear who the delegates would be and how representative of the Adirondacks.
Most of the ideas that have come up regarding Forever Wild and Article 14 of the state constitution since 1894 have not been good ideas. So what we fear in a constitutional convention is that there are some ideas that people have for using the Adirondacks that we feel would not be consistent with Forever Wild that could come up in the convention.
Adirondack Park Local Government Review Board Executive Director Fred Monroe says local government officials are mixed on whether there should be a constitutional convention. While there are many things that officials would like to see changed, he says they are also concerned about ramifications of any changes to the Forever Wild Clause.
Many in local government, including me, believe that it has a big impact on the economy, and that the people that passed the Forever Wild Clause of the Constitution, they didn't think it through and give adequate consideration to the impact on the economy of the residents. On the other side of the issue of the Constitutional Convention is everyone, including local government and me, is afraid of, you know, maybe there'll be changes that'll make it much worse for us.
If approved, a convention would be held in April 2019, and each proposed amendment would appear on the November 2019 statewide ballot.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1718, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.